agency information security staff are supposed to monitor their agency networks looking for cyber threats. It's called the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program. Success depends on a simple question. Will the right people use the data to head off cyber threats, or will the information languish with the wrong people? The Homeland Security Department is taking steps to ensure the right people have the right data. John Stroyford is the Director of Federal Network Resilience at DHS, and he tells Executive Editor Jason Miller how DHS is making sure continuous monitoring pays off.
It would be a tragic mistake to go through all of the steps to roll out sensors to protect the networks of .gov and not use those sensors and the subject matter labor that we assembled to lower risk. So we have to use the data and make sure that the systems of government are safer. That's our end objective.
And how do you guys, a DHS perspective, because, I mean, overseeing, running the program in many regards, how do you ensure that agencies understand that's the message that they need to take back to whether they're systems administrators or CISOs or DepSecs?
Well, it's important to remember that the system of protection for the government networks is in multiple parts. The very large contracts to buy sensors and subject matter experts has drawn a lot of attention because many of the departments and agencies are involved, many members of industry are involved. Second important contract effort that we're undertaking now is for the dashboard, and that dashboard will see to it that the sensor data which is collected queues up those worst problems first in a way that the departments and agencies know every morning when they're open their list of problems to take care of that they're working on the most serious problem affecting the organization from a technical point of view. Now, others on the panel, Alan included, identified that we really have a composite of actions to take, which are to find the most challenging of the technical problems, but also understand how those systems affect the business operations of the cabinet department or agency. So it's that extra involvement of the business executives that benefit from many of the current FISMA quarterly reports will have that added bit of information to highlight exactly the kinds of changes that are most necessary to protect their systems and important data.
Is there an education piece to all of this in terms of the mitigation, how to use the data the best way possible that the DHS is looking at yet, or is it already started to embark on?
Well, the very design of our dashboard will queue up those worst problems at the top of the list. So elements of this are designed to use those important skills of systems administrators, the CIOs and CISOs, to know exactly what they need to be working on most urgently. I think the other panel observations pointed to the fact that a portion of the system challenges come through outdated software or system elements that do not meet all of the needed business purposes of the department and agency, and that's where the ongoing conversations between known threats on existing systems and the future directions that the technology programs of the departments and agencies need to take can come together in a very beneficial way.
And obviously for your agency is going to be different than my agency in terms of what's the highest priority, because it's not one size fits all, but as those dashboards get rolled out, the idea is I'll fine-tune it to my needs, but it's going to be based on a set of standards and a set of, at least we're all going to start at the same spot point.
That's exactly right. The current design of the Federal Information Security Management Act is structured in a way that the Cabinet Department Secretary, CIO, and the designated approval authorities can make those important risk-based decisions. That's what the National Institute of Standards and Technology has advocated in the so-called NIST risk framework. So we're going to see to it that the diagnostic tools under the CDM program can provide the needed information to the technical managers and business managers so that those cost-effective and risk-based decisions that I talked about can happen.
Now, related to that, you mentioned a newish initiative, putting together some teams of subject matter experts to really help harmonize that sensor data, help reduce risk, go to agencies and say, we're going to help you understand what you're seeing. Talk a little bit about that program. How does that fit into this broader program of CDM?
Well, we knew from early on that if we simply walked to a catalog of cybersecurity tools and randomly chose the tools that we applied in the department and agency, we would be in a difficult spot. So our theory was, under the continuous monitoring as a service contract, that the best thinking of industry would help inform, guide, integrate a custom chosen set of tools with a management methodology that would allow those important diagnostic steps to occur in a way that risk decisions could happen. So the support that we get under the continuous monitoring as a service contract will be all important to derive the value that can come from these very capable tool sets which are available in the commercial marketplace. My father used to say, though, that you can have a 17-jewel watch and all the jewels can be in the wrong place. See, our theory is to do this thing right, we need to get the correct sensors. They need to be in the correct support framework so those risk-based decisions can occur, and that's where the subject matter experts of our leading teams under the continuous monitoring service will be all important.
Will this eventually be another task order, delivery order contract under CDM, or is it being done in a different way, meaning based on the systems architecture that I know you guys have already talked to the agencies about and they've already submitted back to you guys? Are you splitting them up in some way?
Well, the continuous monitoring as a service contract had a number of task orders that were only commodities. The portion that we're about to head into is both a combination sensors and subject matter experts together. So what you'll see in the coming weeks are a series of competitions which are focused on that optimal blend of subject matter experts and sensors to get the departments and agencies the diagnostic information they need.
And, of course, I think you're talking about Task Order 2, but also is there a Task Order 3 on tap already, or is this related back to, you also mentioned an RFI for Phase 2, which we can't get all caught up in the phases, task orders, and different pieces, but where does the SME fit into this kind of broader perspective?
We're still in the Phase 1 of the contract, trying to provide the foundation blocks that Tony Sager referred to, hardware asset management, software asset management and whitelisting, vulnerability management and configuration setting compliance dominate those initial set of critical controls that need to be in any program. So we have to get the labor to run the sensors we've already purchased and fill in the gaps for a number of the departments and agencies that are beginning from scratch or getting a common look across their entire organization. And we expect that to dominate the rest of this fiscal year's competitive activity. And then we're setting the stage for the next phase of our program, which will be talking about managing privileges. And similar to the cycle you saw in the first phase of these four elements that we're now getting subject matter expert labor for, we're going to concentrate on managing privileges. And we'll go through a very similar cycle of collecting industry and government reviews and ultimately creating a competition of the best thinking and best sensors that will help in the managing privileges area.